Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, 1 pound each, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in the very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Now this parable is in contrast to the one in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, one is given 1 pound, another 5 pounds, and another 10. But here, each one is given the same amount. And that has been our theme as we study the gifts of God. And there are certain gifts equally given among all believers. One does not have more than the other. And the first of those that we looked at was time. We all have the same amount of time. The president has the same amount of time. And as I have said, whenever I call attention to this, someone always interferes and says, but look how much help he has. Well, yes, but the point is, what does he do with the time that he has? And what are we doing with the time that we have, even though we don't have as much help as he does? Then we all have the same privilege of prayer. Prayer is a true democracy. It is not an aristocracy. Every one of us has the same privilege of prayer. And then we looked last time at the matter of the Spirit. Each one of us is, shall I say, inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit given. Now, how much we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that's not God's fault, that's our fault. And we want to continue our study on the Holy Spirit. We saw that he was the author of the Holy Scriptures. Tonight, we want to see him as the divine teacher. The Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. Nehemiah chapter 9, please. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. And we only need the first phrase there. Nehemiah 9 and verse 20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Way back in Old Testament times, we learn that the Holy Spirit was a teacher. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 26. John 14:26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things chapter 16, please. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will tell you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit as the divine teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Thus as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit as teacher. 1 John chapter 2. But ye have an unction, an anointment, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 27. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now I read these two verses for this reason. The anointing here speaks of the Holy Spirit, but how do I know that? And wherever you have a thought, a type, a picture, or a figure in the Bible, and you want to know the meaning of that figure, you go to the Bible. Don't go to Webster. He's all right for general English, but for spiritual matters, you go to the Bible. What does oil represent? You have an unction from the Holy One. What does that mean? We often say oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Can we show from the Bible that oil speaks of the Holy Spirit? 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 13. How do I know that oil speaks of the Holy Spirit? And I would suggest that wherever you find these figures and these types, that you search the scripture and you find out what that type and what that figure means. A very important thing in study. And many, they work out their own thoughts as to what these types mean and end up with the wrong understanding. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 16, did I say? Yes. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. How do you like that verse? Does that explain what oil means? Does that explain what anointing means? Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And I do this, as I've said, so that we may know that when you want to find out the meaning of biblical figures and expressions, you go to the Bible. You don't go to Webster and you don't go to this professor or the other professor. And that is one of the reasons that there is so much error concerning the Bible, because people don't go to the Bible to find out the meaning of what is in the Bible. Isaiah 61, did I say yes? Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Notice the association. Now there are several other scriptures. I recommend that you look at them at home. Now, the Holy Spirit as a teacher. Some of you have been teachers. All of us have had teachers. One man has classified teachers as follows. Mediocre teachers. They just talk. Have you ever had any of those teachers? They just talk. I remember one that I had. Oh, he could talk. But one day I found out the book that he was talking from. And I copied all the notes in that book. And when he was talking in class, I just sat and read what he was saying. That's a very mediocre teacher. Then you have good teachers. Oh, I had one very good teacher. Good teacher explains. Dr. Gill, he taught us algebra. And if you were to tie his hands behind his back, he couldn't explain a thing. But once those hands were free, and those fingers were free, he could explain anything. He was a good teacher. Then you have superior teachers. They demonstrate. And I remember Dr. Truesdale in physics. He was demonstrating vacuums. And you know how you have a sphere? Well, this sphere was put together, and then he aspirated all of the air out of the sphere. And there was a chain on the bottom of the sphere, and he held hold of the chain and started swinging back and forth. But while he was swinging, the sphere slipped. Now you know what happened. And did we laugh? He fell to the floor. But he was demonstrating. And he learned by demonstration. And then you have great teachers. They inspire you. Oh, I'd like to be able to do what that teacher does. And again, I think of another teacher. He taught us organic chemistry. And I will never forget the first time we went in class. He said, now, you all don't know organic chemistry. You studied inorganic. I'm going to put 3 statements on the blackboard. I want you to copy those statements. Don't ask me how I know they're true. Just accept them, and we'll go along with this course. And it went beautifully. And when we were halfway through the course, then we understood why he put those 3 things there. He was an excellent teacher. There is one teacher I'd like to tell you about. What a teacher he was. Mr. Mendelssohn taught American history. He always had a scowl on his face. And his voice was always rough. You would come to class knowing the lesson, but by the time he looked at you and talked to you, everything got out of your mind. Gone. In what year was America discovered? Now everybody knows the year, don't you? 1492? And he would frighten me so much I'd say 1999. Oh, what a man he was. And then when you answered wrongly, he would say louder and funnier. Oh, what a teacher. Everybody was failing. Come to the end of the term now. The only way you're going to pass is to pass the final exam. Beloved, children, thank the Lord that you know the Lord. See? Pray. You're not too young to pray. And I asked the Lord, how should I prepare for this examination? And you know the Lord answers? The Lord told me, memorize the book. And I remember the name of the book, Muzzy's American History, about 1¼ inches thick. Memorize the book. And Mr. Mendelssohn was a very strange sort of fellow, you know. He would give you an exam on the fine print, not on the text. He was just God. And in addition, I memorized a little blue book and a little brown book on American history and went to the examination. The custom then was, 1 week after the examination, you went back to your class to find out how you did. Week after exam, I returned, and as I was going to the class, here was Professor Mendelson coming in the other direction. And I prayed, Lord, please let me fall through this floor to the next landing. I didn't want to meet Professor Mendelson. But the Lord didn't answer that prayer. So I walked to the door. Mr. Mendelson was coming. Then with that squint in his eyes and that grin, he looked at me and put up his hand like a cat pouncing on a mouse. And I put out my hand, he shook my hand. He said, I congratulate you. Well, that didn't mean a thing coming from him. He would congratulate you for failing. That's the kind of person he was. I held his hand. I congratulate you. That didn't mean a thing. And then thank the Lord, he said, you did very well. And I said, thank the Lord. Children, take the Lord with you. Young men and women, take the Lord with you in school, at work, wherever you go. Now, I could stop here and develop this line of thinking, but I won't. And we go on. Or I've had some other, met some other teachers. This man was a pianist. Very short fellow. Like that lady that's visiting from the Philippines. She's in 5 feet. Well, Joseph Hoffman, well, if he made 5 feet, he was tall. Great piano player. And he had a teacher, Anton Rubinstein. He was a short fellow and he had short fingers. And he complained to his teacher, I can't reach all of those notes. My fingers are too small. What do you think Anton Rubinstein said to him? Play with your nose. Or play the notes. Oh, my. Some teachers, aren't they? Some teachers. What is the Holy Spirit like? Is he like that? What is the Holy Spirit like as a teacher? Acts chapter 13. And I could tell you about other teachers. I've had the whole gamut of teachers. The good, the bad, the indifferent. I had one teacher, he taught math. I say he taught, he exposed us, he didn't teach anything, he didn't know it, apparently. And so this fellow solved the problem. And then Professor Peterson asked, well, why didn't you take your answer out another step? He said, well, to take it another step would have no meaning since it was behind the decimal point. The zero would mean nothing. Professor Peterson said, yes, that's just what you're going to get, zero. What a teacher. But let's look at the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Joy. And when the Holy Spirit teaches you, you're filled with joy. Nobody in Mr. Mendelssohn's class was ever filled with joy. The greatest joy you had was getting out of the class. But no joy. Now, mark you, there is a difference between joy and happiness. When you go home, look that up. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you happy. You see a lot of these people in these churches talking about they're happy and they bounce around and wonder. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you joy. And joy and happiness are two different things. Philippians 2 and 1. The Holy Spirit gives joy. And I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit teaches, you have real joy. You may remember the story that I told you of my friend Lloyd. He's now with the Lord. He worked at Macy's. And in the locker room, he would often go at lunchtime and read his New Testament. And I remember that New Testament well. And one day he was in the locker room. He didn't know that anybody was there. He was reading his New Testament and suddenly he said, "Wow!" Has that ever happened to you? You ever said, "Wow," when you're reading the Bible? Well, he was so full of joy, he said, "Wow." And it happened that somebody was in there and came over to him. "Are you all right? Can I help you?" And my friend Lloyd said, "I'm fine. You wouldn't understand. I've been reading the book. And I want to tell you, when you read the books, you get a real thrill." Why, in the last week, I've had a lot of thrills. The Lord has showed me a lot of things. And never think that you know the Bible so well or a verse so well that you don't need to read it again. I've told you about the brother that spoke for 2 weeks in the gospel on John 3:16, that one text, and never repeated himself. Now, if you think you know John 3:16, can you give 16 messages on John 3:16 and not repeat yourself? If you can't, then you don't know John 3:16. There's a whole lot more. But Philippians 2 and 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit. Oh, isn't that nice? Fellowship of the Spirit. What is fellowship? Sharing. And the Holy Spirit, as the teacher, wants to share with us the beauties of the Lord and the beauties of His Word. Mr. Mendelssohn didn't want to share anything. He wanted to belittle you. The Holy Spirit wants to share. And how nice that is. Again, I remember one of the subjects that caused us the greatest difficulty in high school was solid geometry. Not plain, solid. And there was one teacher there, Mr. Sefner, he would yell and scream. You know what he did one day? He said, "I don't feel like writing on the blackboard, so we'll just imagine the figure in the air, a parallelepiped. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and axis from A to H." And then we began to recite. And he came to Garnes. And Garnes told him what he thought. Had the letters all mixed up. He said, "No, that's wrong." He went two students further and said, "By the way, I think what Garnes said was right." "Garnes, what did you say?" And I couldn't remember. This imaginary thing. But in the same school and for the same course, we had another Dr. Bishop. And Dr. Bishop had what he called the 100% class for the fellows that found difficulty with solid geometry. 1 hour every school afternoon at no cost. You didn't get paid for it. He would get all the students that had difficulty and explain to them so that they understood. He was sharing. He was having fellowship. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He shares with us the Word of God. You take a man like Dr. Rose. Many of you don't know him, but you've heard of him. That man told me He spent plenty of time with this book and with the Holy Spirit. And I've told it before. The first time I met him, one Sunday morning at breakfast, and he said to me, "You know, I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 53 years. And this morning, I saw something I never saw before." How about it? 53 years, you'd think he'd know it. But he found something new. The Holy Spirit communicated something new. Something that he did not know before. And as I was saying, Mr. Bishop, he had this 100% club. Do you know that when the final exam came, all of his students never got below 90? He was sharing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does as he teaches us from his word. Romans 15 and verse 30. Another aspect of the Spirit as divine teacher. Romans 15, verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit." Do you know the Holy Spirit loves you? Of course, that follows naturally. The Holy Spirit is God, and God is love. The Holy Spirit loves the believer. In the course of my going to school and whatnot, one of my responsibilities was to do some teaching, particularly of fellows that were from overseas. And I liked to talk to them. I learned a lot from their way of life and how they regarded life over here. And I was speaking to one fellow, and he told me he was married and had a nice wife. I said, "Yes, you chose a nice wife." He said, "No, I didn't choose her." You remember Abraham? Isaac didn't choose his wife, did he? No. And this fellow said, "My father chose my wife." I said, "Well, how did you feel about that?" "Your father, we don't do that over here." And he said to me, "My father loves me, and he will get the best for me." How's that? You like that reasoning? The Holy Spirit, we just read, loves us, and he wants the best for us. And in the course of teaching, he will get the best out of us. And that reminds me of a teacher that my first daughter had. Miss Aiello. That lady would take these 6 and 7 year olds and have them march and turn and do all sorts of things. You'd wonder how she did it. They all read well. They all wrote well. And they did arithmetic well. She was a teacher. She loved those children. And she communicated the best to those children. The Holy Spirit loves us and will teach us and give us the best. Had another teacher, Professor Harrow. Professor Harrow was head of the chemistry department, and he taught biochemistry, how chemistry works in the human body. And he gave a week of lectures on vitamins. Now remember, this was a long time ago. We know much more today than we did then. This was in the early 30s. Professor Harrow gave this lecture, series of lectures. And on Friday morning, when he finished his last lecture, one student raised his hand. He said, "Yes, what do you want, son?" That's how he felt about the students. There were no co-ed, no girls in the class at that time. And this student said, "Dr. Harrow, can you give us any references so that we might get a little more information on the subject of vitamins?" And what do you think Dr. Harrow said? "My dear boy, I am the world's outstanding authority on the vitamins, and I've told you all that I know." And he walked out. Why? What a teacher. Wouldn't you like to have a teacher like him? The world's outstanding authority? My. How authoritative is the Holy Spirit? How authoritative is the Holy Spirit? Let me see. Isaiah 40 and 13. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Professor Harrow was the world's outstanding person on vitamins. Nobody knew any more than he did, and there were no references for him to give anybody. He had given all that he knew. The Holy Spirit, Isaiah 40 and 13. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught?" Who taught the Spirit? Anybody? Holy Spirit is God. Isn't he therefore the ultimate authority on things spiritual? Let's look at 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 2. And verse 9. The Holy Spirit as teacher. What is his authority? By what authority does he teach? Where did he learn it? What school did he go to? What degree does he have? Chapter 2 and verse 9, we read that. Let's read it again. "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God." How deep have you gone, beloved? How deep have you gone in this book? The Spirit searches the deep things. Now you have to be careful about that, because when you turn to Revelation chapter 2, we read that Satan has his deep things. And he'll try to confuse it. We read on. "What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit." What is his authority as a teacher? He knows all the things of God. He's God himself. And he loves us. And he wants us to learn. The question is, are we learning? "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." The Holy Spirit will teach you the Scriptures. I remember reading of a group in the Philippines. A missionary was there. And when he left his Bible there. One Bible, whole community of people. Do you know they read that Bible? The Spirit taught them, and they gathered exactly as we do? If we will allow the Spirit, he will teach us. Finally, the Bible and the Holy Spirit present an unusual circumstance. Again, going back to school days. Professor Mott, head of the English department at City College, a world authority on Shakespeare. He's a nice man. Nice to sit in his class and hear him talk about Shakespeare. And one day he invited a professor from Columbia University to come to City College to the Great Hall, which held anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 people. And here was the Great Hall, filled with students and visitors to hear the two authorities on Shakespeare. And they were very cordial and very polite as they discussed Shakespeare. And after about 1 hour and 15 minutes, what do you think happened? They came to a point where they didn't agree, but they were still courteous. What do you do when two world authorities don't agree? And as I sat there, I said to myself, there was only one way to settle that matter. For Shakespeare to come out of the grave and come up on the platform and tell them what he meant. That's the only way I knew that they could settle it. Do you know that of all books in the world, the Bible is the most ancient, and it is the only book whose author is present and alive to tell you what it means? Don't you like that? Boy, I like this book. The one who wrote it is present and in me and with me to explain what it means. I remember when we were in high school. The book that we studied French from was written by the head of the department and his assistant. So if we didn't understand anything in the book, we just go to Mr. Downer or Professor Knickerbocker and ask them, what does this mean? But you can't do that with Shakespeare. He's dead. You can't do it with Dante, he's dead. You can't do it with Caesar and Cicero and all these other men, they're all dead. But the one who wrote this is present and alive. And he's a good teacher, and he wants his pupils to learn. And he gets joy, and he gives joy when we learn. I'm about finished. That's all I have to say. The one who wrote the book is present to tell you what he means by the book, and he wants you to learn. He's not like Mr. Mendelssohn there, frightening you to death and complimenting you for failing. No, he wants you to learn. Number 204, please. And next time in the will of the Lord, I think we should study the book that the Holy Spirit wrote. Find out how many mistakes there are in it. Of course, you know the answer to that already. But in the will of the Lord, on Sunday, we look at the book. Most wonderful book in the world. Number 204, please.